This is CliffCentral.com.
I'm very happy to see you, Cindy Nell.
Good. I'm good? Delighted. I imagine you're not too happy to see everyone.
What do you mean? No, I am.
You just strike me as a very highly intelligent, easily annoyable
you think?
Kind of guy that doesn't really like to waste time with random individuals.
Look, none of us like to waste time, but I'm happy, hey? When you're happy to be around other happy people, even if they might not necessarily be people
are you happy?
That you
Why
get
are you
see
happy?
Often. I just am. It's this time of year. People are in a good mood. I'm feeling like a little more healthy. I've got, you know, things to keep me busy. That's good.
How's your love life?
No, there's none.
None.
I spoke to someone about this yesterday. I've kind of just sacrificed that to get the business up and running.
Really?
In a way, I don't think of myself as
both early on.
Well, no, not in the beginning. But I'm not feeling like I'm, you know, counterbalancing one with the other. Mm. Some people do it very successfully. Mm. I'm not needy, so I suppose. Mm. There isn't a gap that I need filled right now. Mm. I'm pouring myself into my work. I've got a family I love. I've got friends that I love being around. So I'm not feeling, you know, that I need more than what I've got. And that's also why I'm happy.
That's a beautiful place to be if you're happy to be alone. I mean, I think that must be one of the most significant things that can happen in your life, is when you're happy to just be on your own.
Aren't you?
And not needing to fill that gap.
Aren't you one of those people, though, who also believes, like I do, that you can't really be happy with anyone if you haven't been happy with yourself.
Mm, very much so.
Otherwise, you just leverage that person the whole time. You know, and you're always using them to fill some hole in you.
God, you're wise for such a youngster, aren't you?
I'm not young anymore. Are you kidding?
You're looking good.
You're looking fantastic.
Thank you. Do you like my blonde hair?
You bounced. Yeah, I do. You
it's
bounced
my first
in
day.
Here. Oh really? So I'm the first person
the first
to see you with your blonde
to see
hair.
You blonde.
I like it.
No, I hate it.
What for? Why? Why did you change it then?
I just wanted to try something new.
Are you
in
the mood?
My hair.
Are you in the mood to like refresh old things and change things that you've become too used to?
No, I'm not going through any kind of midlife crisis or any of that kind of jazz. I feel like you can be more playful as a woman nowadays. You know, you can be playful with your looks. You can be playful. You can change up your style. You know, so I wanted to try it. No, not sure I love it.
And maybe also when you do reach a certain age, you just don't care what other people think.
Exactly.
That's important.
That's important. That's very important.
This is cool. So far, this is already my favorite interview of the year.
deep.
All right, so I've been watching you on this Wedding Bashers show. You have to explain to me, like, what's wrong with these people who invite the four of you to their weddings to say sometimes nice things, but mostly like to criticize the weddings. I mean, there's nothing that I can imagine would be worse for a couple than to have their beautiful special day that they've thought about, especially, you know, little girls grow up thinking, oh, one day when I get married, blah, blah, blah. And then you invite these four people. None of you are horrible people, but to sit there and to, you're saying the
but
food
we do
is,
need to be authentic.
Food is cuck, the fashion's bad, the ceremony was long and dreary, the speeches were fucking awful, the venue looked dreary. I mean,
so basically,
horrible.
Exactly. But I mean, basically, Gavin came up with this concept. He's the producer. And he.
Gavin is our director in Idols. He's
oh,
very
yes. He's very cool. So he came up with this idea. Imagine, you know, when people go to a wedding and they get in the car afterwards. So everyone's like very polite at the wedding. And everyone's like, oh, kiss, kisses. Everything's just too lovely.
Oh, you look
but
so
then,
nice.
You look so nice. Oh, my God. I'm hearing.
Right.
And then if you get in the car, then everyone goes, oh, my God. What was she wearing? What was he doing? Oh, the speech has killed me. Because that's the real conversations people have when they go to a wedding, right? And I mean, let's face it, we love weddings, but we all have a little bit of a opinion afterwards.
Oh, for sure.
So,
and it's usually those tunnies that look like they would never say a horrible thing that are the meanest afterwards, right?
Pulling apart.
Yeah.
So the four of us are basically those people. So we are the people, we say what everyone's thinking at the wedding. Yeah. And we're currently busy filming the finale. It is on Sunday at 5.
Right.
And I know one of the brides is unhappy about something I said about her dress.
Uh-oh.
But the reality is it's quite a personal thing. And not everyone is going to like everything. I personally wouldn't invite someone to my wedding to criticize it. But it makes for very good TV. I think the couples are very brave. And I actually think that they get a lot more positive criticism than negative.
Yeah. I've seen two episodes, and you're not, you guys are not going out of your way to be nasty. Mm. But, you know, a wedding is also such a personal thing. I've been to weddings that are, you know, these are good friends of mine. Everybody that, most of the people who are invited, I'll know, and that it's a great wedding. And you don't really pay attention to that stuff because you're around cool people and you're having fun. So the venue matters less and the dress matters less and all this stuff. And also as a guy, you don't really take that shit in anyway.
Yeah.
You're really just there to have a good time.
And eat and drink.
And eat and drink, yeah. And as long as you don't wait for hours and hours while they're taking photographs, it's a good wedding.
Yes, yes.
They all kind of blur into each other, though. If you ask me now, at which wedding that you've been to in the last 20 years did this happen? I wouldn't know. They're all the same. It's all one big wedding in my mind.
So we went out of our way in wedding bashes to go to different kinds of weddings.
Yeah,
we
you
went
did.
To superhero weddings, traditional Zulu
weddings.
I see weddings,
you at the Indian one.
Indian weddings, beach weddings, very fancy weddings.
So there's a medieval one.
Medieval weddings. It was not my favorite. I'm lying. So memorable weddings, because we obviously don't want the viewer to have this blurry, you know, one wedding goes into another. Yeah. Because weddings very often can be that.
Yeah, I mean, do you think about your own when you're doing this stuff?
Yes. Yes, when I do the ceremony, the church ceremony, I think about it.
How long have you been married now?
I've been married for 8 years.
Wow.
Yes. I'm also not as young as you.
Well, I was thinking about it the other day. You won in what, 2002?
2000
in South Africa.
2003, but they crowned you in 2002.
I mean, that
in December.
It was a different world almost. I mean, look, you look as good as ever. I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass. You do look terrific.
Thank you.
But
I was 21. Can you
I know.
Imagine that?
I mean, look
I was
at
a little girl.
And how dumb we were at 21.
I know, specifically you. I was much more intelligent.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, most of us were, most people were fairly stupid at 21. The beautiful thing about being 21, though, is that you are invincible. You think that you know everything. And maybe that's enough. Clearly,
well,
that was for us.
Look what it did. I mean, you certainly didn't lack any confidence. Mm. And you got there and you made the world your own. And then you went off to Miss Universe, too. And didn't it make you happy to see old Demi Lee?
I was so happy. I actually feel, I can't even tell you how happy I feel. Such a weird feeling. I feel so happy for her and I'm so proud of her. And I mean, you know, I was on stage with the top three. I kind of had a little bit of a feeling of what it was like. But her life is about to change. You cannot even begin to imagine.
But I'm always kind of a little curious because South Africa's got this reputation. We've got these beautiful girls and these beautiful women, and they represent us so well overseas. And we've really had a good couple of years. I mean, it wasn't so long ago that Ruleen was Miss World. Mm. So we've got a Miss World and a Miss Universe in the last one. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Venezuela is now really miserable because it's become poor
Africa.
And communist, and they've lost the title of being the most beautiful country in the world for their women.
Yes,
it's going down the toilet in Venezuela, and they don't even have toilet paper. They're queuing up for the stuff.
Oh gosh!
So I mean, since then though, you've really done quite a lot. I mean, you've been doing Pasela, you've done quite a lot of TV. You've certainly been a part of everybody's conversation. You've been very relevant in South African society and in the entertainment business. Is it what you wanted it to be after Miss SA? Because Miss SA is sort of a weird, rarefied, almost inert way to be. You really don't live a normal life. You've got people all the time. Mm. You live most of the time on your own. Mm. You're doing event after event after event. You belong to the organization. It's not a life. You do that for a year and you're almost removed from society, and then you suddenly put back in. And for a lot of girls, it doesn't always go well afterwards. I mean, for you, you took to it like a duck to water.
Well, I always see Miss South Africa and Miss Universe as a means to an end. So I didn't allow the system to swallow me in that year. And I've always been very entrepreneurial in many ways. You know, I was the little girl that would sell the chips with her pocket money, buy a big packet and make lots and sell them. So for me, my purpose, my goal in life was always to be successful and rich.
Right.
And I saw.
And those two are different?
Yes, very different. Being successful and rich is very two different.
Okay, things. But explain it to me, because I kind of maybe know what you mean, but I think a lot of people say, well, when you're rich, you are successful, and when you're successful, you will be rich.
No, not necessarily. You know, you can be. What is success ultimately? Because if success is purely defined on your wealth, then there's very few successful people in this world. And I have met many people who are very successful, but not wealthy, because they have achieved all their goals. They stand for something powerful, relevant, and possibly changing, life-changing, world-changing, making a difference. Whether it be in the world or in the business or in the artistic environment. And I think, you know, success is a personal thing. If you're a very successful artist, it's very possible that you may not be rich, but you would have done something really, really significant in this world. And the same with being a singer or, you know, whatever the case may be. So, yes, I've always wanted to be rich and successful. I saw modeling as an easy way to get there, especially considering that in the last 10 years, we've seen a lot of, in the last 20 years, we've seen a lot of women become, you know, it's now commonplace to see women as CEOs and
pilots.
But it wasn't when I was growing up.
Definitely
so
not.
I just sort of fast-tracked myself into becoming a businesswoman by becoming someone that would shake hands with the right people and take business cards from the right people and making contacts and getting to know
you
and becoming relevant.
You operated at that level. Right.
So when my year was finished, I immediately got to work with all my evil little business plans and exciting projects. And at this point in my life, I feel like in order for me to go to the next phase of success, I am now ready to give back. I want to. I've started a foundation. It's called the Women for Women Foundation. And I now want to spend my time giving back and helping other young women become successful. And that, for me, will be my ultimate, ultimately define whether or not I've been successful in life.
That's a very fortunate place to be in, and you are young, and to be able to do that now, to be able to start giving back and already start thinking about others because your cup is full, is a privileged place to be. That's terrific. Mm. But I can't help thinking, you know, there are...
I wouldn't say my cup is full, but...
Well, it's never to the brim because you always want something to keep aspiring for, right?
Yes,
otherwise,
yes.
You just stop. And you don't strike me as the kind of person who's ever going to just stop.
No, I like to work.
The point that I want to get to is that it's kind of ironic that someone – and it helps that you were born beautiful and that you are who you are. But it's ironic that you took that, which is a very kind of chauvinistic way of making it into the public eye. You know, like people went – men and women went, oh, look at her. She's pretty. That was the first thing they said. Mm. And then you became Miss South Africa, which is about being pretty, essentially. I mean, if you
well, let's not get into that conversation.
No,
but
what
I
mean
what
is you chop away all the other stuff that they put there to make it look less like it's not a beauty pageant, because it really is deep down. But you took all of that and you said, I'm actually going to turn this into stuff that is completely unrelated to that.
Mm.
And you managed to have the best of both worlds then, because it does matter what you look like, and it does matter who you're connected to via the means that you might have used to get there.
Who you know is,
whatever it is,
very important.
Sure, but it doesn't define you, and it isn't
absolutely.
Those aren't the game rules that you have to keep playing by from there on in. So it takes a huge amount of self-awareness to see that early on and to go, okay, now I'm going to turn it into this. I don't know that a lot of young men or women could ever do that. I think it takes like a major strength of character and maybe supportive family.
I've had a very supportive
family. Like a good
family.
Background, you know?
You know, I had a very interesting childhood. We moved around a lot, and I was in many different schools. And I, because of that, never really settled anywhere, and I really didn't have any friends.
You weren't the popular girl in the school?
Far from it. I was the girl with braces and the long skirts. And quite frankly, I honestly don't think that any teacher even knew my name. There was nothing significant about me in school whatsoever. And I don't think I was particularly good looking either. Honestly.
I was sure that you would have been like one of the cool girls.
Not at all. I wasn't the rich girl. I wasn't the cool girl. I wasn't the hot girl. I wasn't the girl with the big boobs. I wasn't the... a girl with 7 distinctions. It was none of those things. I was a very average student, but for all intents and purposes.
Okay.
But I do think that what that gave me was a sense of drive that was second to none. And that is, I think, you know, I really don't think that you're a product of your circumstance. I think you're a product of your attitude. And I've always just been extremely driven, positive attitude, nothing will get me down, I'm doing this. And I didn't have money to back me. I had a very supportive family. I didn't particularly come from any grandeur or fancy educations. And I wanted to be rich and successful, and I'm those things. Because I decided I was going to be. And I honestly feel like I want to tell young girls, I'm going to do a roadshow next year with my cosmetic brands to different schools, where I want to tell young girls that you can either say, I don't have the money to do this, I don't have the opportunity, I don't know the right people, or you can find a way, because there's always a way.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of this victim Olympics going on, where people on social media or in general society and in conversation, they're telling you how hard their life is, and they're expecting like
sympathy
points for it, you know? They want to be pushed to the front of the queue because they've had a harder life than anyone else. Mm. And that's not how it works. Deep down inside, even the most empathetic people on earth aren't as sad about your story as they are worried about theirs.
Mm.
And I wish people would, we've got to stop celebrating mediocrity in so many ways too. This is something that bothers me enormously when I think about South Africa, is that, you know, someone who does something very average but came from really difficult circumstances gets celebrated, which is not entirely wrong because we want those people celebrated, but they get put on a par with like people who've attained amazing things, regardless of their background.
And I it's like you use this as a also.
Yeah, you use it as kind of a bargaining chip, as a but I grew up poor, or but I didn't go to the best schools, or but I only had one parent, or whatever this may be. And by no means am I saying that's ever the kid's fault, or that you should ever have to be held back because of your circumstances. Mm. I like what you just said. Your attitude will define how you move forward, not your circumstances.
And you shouldn't. I kind of agree with you, and I know it's a bit of a controversial topic, but I don't believe in handouts just because you've come from difficult circumstances. And I'm not going to get soppy about mine, but I didn't particularly have a grand life at all. Well, you know, I didn't have a bad life. I have fond memories of my childhood. But
But there wasn't like a lot of money or...
No, I mean, we had enough.
Yeah.
My father was retrenched in 1994, and we pretty much lost everything. We had to sell our cars it was in New South Africa, and that meant a completely different life, new life for us. We moved around pretty much every 2 years, 2-3 years.
Wow. As he was looking for jobs and things.
Exactly. Right. I was probably in about 9 to 10 schools total in my life. There's only 11 school years in your life.
Sure.
So, and I was never given any handouts. I'm not saying my situation is comparable to many others' situation, but I fundamentally don't believe in handouts because you come from, maybe you had more of a challenging life in any way. Because the reality is what you say is true. It's your problem. First and foremost, other people have their own problems, and you need to figure out how are you going to solve that problem and make it better.
And there's benefit to going through difficulty because it makes you stronger.
Absolutely.
And you learn how to deal with things that precious, spoilt people who've never had challenges in their lives don't ever have to deal with. And you may look at them and you're jealous, but their character is always going to be fairly one or two dimensional. Whereas if you've done difficult things, difficult things is part of like evolution. That's how our genes decide what we're going to keep and what we're going to throw away.
Do you know how many people in this industry, in this entertainment industry, come to me and they say, I don't know why I'm not making it as a singer, as an actress, as a this, as a that, as a businesswoman. So then I listen to them a little bit and I'm asking simple questions like, what are you doing at night? I'm watching TV. Why are you not making a bio? Why are you not growing your social media? Why are you not writing emails? Why are you not going to see people shaking hands? Why are you not putting yourself out there? If you are watching TV every night, you're never going to be successful.
What do you think will
happen?
Because
you need to put in the hours And the, like my father used to say, the graft. You need to put in the hours, the admin, the boring stuff. But most, I think the celebrity reality world makes most people think that they can just be successful overnight, and it doesn't work like that.
Well,
put in the hours.
I just want to go through a few things that you've been doing. So I mentioned Pacella, which was a while ago, but you know, it's still relevant.
I did that for 12 years.
Yeah, you were on it for a long time. You did Survivor back in 2010. Now that's brave. I mean, especially for a, you know, a girl who was considered to be so beautiful, and you know, whenever you win a beauty pageant, they're like, oh well, she must have this whole regimen of stuff that she does every morning, because people immediately assume that when someone is a beauty queen or they're a beautiful woman full stop, that they must have a whole ritual that goes on. There's some magic that happens every morning and every night, and that there are these thousands of products, and we will talk about your products in a minute too, because I think that's an interesting evolution. But to go onto a desert island with a bunch of other people and then kind of
– no makeup, no toiletries,
yeah,
no food.
Yeah, it's horrible. I'm not a beauty queen, and I wouldn't go and live on an island with a bunch of those assholes. I don't know how you did it.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It really is. You know, funny enough, Gareth, I was – and again, I think I'm much less – honestly, and it never bothers me that people – think of me as a beauty queen or a poppy or a, because I use that to my advantage.
Sure. And they underestimate you.
Yes. And I love that, because it's the best way is actually have people underestimate you. But, I'm a lot stronger than a lot of people think, and I'm a lot less fussy and pedantic and makeup-y. And, so that didn't actually bother me so much. What bothered me the most was the elements. I mean, it's just insane. The flies are eating you. I sat through a 24-hour hurricane, which I truly think broke my spirit in so many ways. I was just rocking myself. I was sitting close to a tree so I wouldn't blow away.
What hell?
And it was horrible. The elements is actually your biggest challenge, not the no food, and the psychological challenge of being with somebody else. So, like, you know, I used to get so irritated with Proverb, because he would lie there and do nothing. And I'd be like, Proverb, we're building a house, we're getting oysters, we're doing stuff. Like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, it's hot, dude. And I'd be like, Proverb, you're so clever. He was so clever, because he got right to the end. Because nobody was stressed about him. I was like, dude, I totally should have played your game. I was trying to be Miss Busy.
You are trying. That is how you are. You are Miss Busy. Like you were saying that you talk to these other people in the entertainment business and you can't believe how lazy they are. Like, I think you get a lot done in a day because that's just how you're made.
Yeah.
And for you to be on a desert island, you're like, I should be doing something.
Yes. Let's go get bass oysters off the rock.
Are you okay on holiday? Can you actually relax, or do you also spend a lot of your time on holiday planning for the year ahead?
Yes. I struggle to relax. It's a very big problem for me. I have to actually drink medication to relax.
Really?
I have to take Rescue Remedy and other things I defy as medication, red wine.
Yeah, gin. Sure. Because, again, you probably have like a fitness thing that you do. You're like, I mean, you're in amazing shape.
You do
yoga and all that kind of thing, right?
Pilates.
Okay.
I do a thing called bar body.
It's so like being on this island with these other people and having –
we did yoga on the island.
Yeah, but it's different. Like you're never comfortable because you never know when the camera's on you.
So I would do, if I didn't have children, I would do Survivor again. And this time I promise you I would.
No.
I'm so much better equipped now.
Have you learned nothing? It's awful. There's nothing to be gained from this experience.
Well,
it's
you
just
lose a lot of weight.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a bonus if you're a girl.
Well, all you have to do is just eat as little as you ate on the island without all the other pain
and
torture.
No, that's easier said than done.
No, it is. It's very tough.
But Survivor was cool. I've done, you know, presented the World Cup.
Sure. Well, I'm going to get to all of that. But you also, you started your cosmetics company. Cosmetics with an X.
Actually, right. I joined my husband. We worked together first, and he had a business in the salon industry.
Right.
And then, needless to say, I'm very passionate about makeup and beauty products and all those kind of things. So it was a natural extension for
me. It's great business. I mean, Liliane Betancourt, who died not so long ago, was the president of one of the beauty companies, L'Oreal, I think it was.
Yes.
She was, I think, the seventh richest person on earth. There's major money to be made in cosmetics. Major, major money. Right? It's a very good business to get into. If you know what you're doing there, you can write your own check.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you, I mean, it must have been good for the bank balance.
Yeah.
And South African women, they know what they want and they know where to get it and they're prepared to pay for it.
Yes, yes. And you know where I think was the fundamental difference between what I do in makeup is that, and again, maybe this comes from my I want to save the world roots, but I wanted to bring products to this country that were good quality, not cheap Chinese brands, no offense to the Chinese, but German made, good quality, high pigment products at very affordable prices. And my ethos on all our brands is that. So our prices would be a third of the competitors' prices, but very good quality, almost astonishing. So, you know, we have brands like Essence, Catrice, Caribbean Tan, Skin Science, Love, which is my latest makeup range. And all the products are made in Germany, made in Europe, very good quality, high pigments, but very affordable. Because the world changed 10 years ago when we started this, where more women wanted to start wearing makeup with less disposable income than the European countries, for example, but they want to look beautiful. And I think it's empowering to be able to put on makeup. It makes you feel good. It makes you look good. But not everyone can afford a premium product.
And everybody always says, no, it's what you do with the makeup. But that's not true. Like if you have a crap product, there's nothing you can do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It needs to be a good product. Yeah. It needs to be a good product. So, and at the time, there was a lot of cheap.
Look at how much I know about makeup.
Yeah. loving your contour today.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think I need? I don't have contour. Come on. I haven't put on makeup.
You've got very good skin, actually.
You think so?
Very good skin.
What do I need to pay attention to? Look at me. Be critical like you would at wedding bashes. Tell me what I need to improve. I'm serious.
I think that you should have a little Botox done above your two eyebrows
to lift your
brows slightly.
Good, yes.
Because I think you've got beautiful eyes, but they're too closed.
Right.
Which makes you look very serious. We know you're very serious, but I also know that there's a fun side to you.
Yeah.
I would lift your brow a little bit.
Good, got it.
Don't take your frown away because that's a big part of who you are.
Okay.
And the rest is pretty perfect, actually.
You think it'll be all right?
Yeah.
Will I age well?
You are aging well.
Will I? It's me being optimistic. All right,
Hair's nice and full.
So the cosmetic company, thanks. The cosmetic company's doing well.
Yeah.
And that's...
Essence is the number one selling cosmetic brands in the country.
That's terrific.
I know.
Shit, well done.
Color Cosmetics.
That's amazing.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
That
takes a lot of work.
Well, this
the
is what
products don't just walk off the shelf.
Right. I mean, is this 70% of your work? Is it 80% of your work? How much of your time, if you only have
100%? I would say 70%.
Okay. And the rest of that time, are you spending building this foundation?
But I don't have 100%. I have 120%.
Yeah, all right. Let's not get carried away here. You're going to burn out if you carry on like this.
I know. I'm going to
Have you ever just realized you're overdoing it and you need to stop?
Yes.
You like have health problems as a result, or you get miserable, or...
Very.
Okay.
So I suffer from anxiety sometimes.
What's the first indication you get that you're overdoing it?
I can't breathe anymore. Like I wake up and I feel like.
All right, but let's also, you know, this is something that I think is wrong with society. Like we keep saying that people who sleep 8 hours a night are lazy. They're actually healthy.
No.
Right? They're healthy.
I am now. You know that this is an old saying, but it's something we need to remember every single day of our lives. We spend all our health chasing wealth, and then we spend all our wealth chasing that health again. And it is a sick, serious pandemic that has grabbed the world. We are so hungry for success. And I mean, I am the poster child for this problem. We're so hungry to be successful because we see success as money that we keep going and going and going until you eventually
burn out. And these days, you see, because of social media, we're all exposed to other people's success because they always project their success. They never let you into the failure.
Of course not.
You know, so you go onto Instagram and you see other people living these amazing lives and you think, God, they're doing so well.
Social media is a lie.
I know. But this is how we can't help it. It's in our faces all day. So you look at these people and you go, look how well they're all doing. I'm a failure by comparison. And then it makes us even more hungry, so we work even harder and we take less care of ourselves. And I mean, you're a mom as well, right? And that is a full-time job.
Mm.
So you probably are at 120% if you're putting 70% into your business, because your kids will take up another. You're probably at 200% if you figure it out.
And it is destined for burnout. You cannot continue like that. I think the only thing that saves me is I take long holidays in between. So I'm taking a month off now where I go to my husband has a small farm in the Midlands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just nothing. There's nothing there. And
I what
just
do?
Read.
Love you to read?
Yeah. I love to read. I could smash all those books in 2 weeks.
Really? Yeah. I don't know. Those books are the best ones to read. But okay. There's even a Donald Trump book there. I don't think you want to go for that.
I also have all the Donald Trump books when I was young and hungry. I think you have to rest and have to find a balance. So that's what I'm striving for now in my life. And yes, I was fortunate to make it to achieve a lot of my goals first. But
so you've got Ethan's 5?
6 now.
6.
6 going on.
Okay, and your daughter?
He's a bit of a Gareth Lift, that one.
Why? What a horrible thing to give a child as an inheritance.
No, it's actually, I think it's a compliment. He's very...
Let's just clear this up so nobody gets the wrong impression. It's not my child, all right? I'd love to claim...
My son is not
I'd love to claim
Gareth's
I fathered
child.
A child as Cindy
the
Nell.
Fact
that would
that
be amazing.
The fact that he's got blonde hair and blue eyes and fair skin and he's a smart ass and well-spoken and that's not me, he's Gareth's
not my child.
Child.
All right, we're just going to clear
it's
that up.
A very close resemblance of personality. He's a very, very clever little child. He tells me he wants to be an engineer.
Wow.
And he's building robots. He's 6. Seriously.
And he's going to be fine. Little Elon Musk on the way.
He's going to be fine. So when everyone else is playing with a soccer ball, he's not going to be Ronaldo. Let me make no qualms about that. But he's building robots and he's doing little engineers and he's doing all sorts of stuff. He's operating systems in our house that I have no idea how they work because his dad's techie.
And your daughter?
Oh, she's me.
Is she you?
She's me, that girl. She's just lovely. She's just good with everything. She's just sweet. And
do you think a lot about your...
Loves makeup.
Do you think a lot about your mum when you're with her?
When I brush her hair, I remember my mom brushed my hair every morning and made it into a plait for school. And so, I do sometimes. But I grew up in an Afrikaans household, and my father was in the military. So we were a lot more...
Regimented,
exactly. My children have got much more of a relaxed life. You know, they kind of rule the roost.
Praat jy Afrikaans met hulle?
Ek probeer, maar hulle is...
Hulle is Engelse kinders.
Hulle is Engelse kinders. Maak my hart baie seer.
Ja, they'll say Etan and Anya if they had to say their names in Afrikaans.
Yeah.
But so what? They're not going to lose anything by not speaking Afrikaans. What they'll gain is that they'll have another language.
I do need to teach them to speak another language, though, because it's not about Afrikaans for me, even though I'm expired towards Afrikaans.
Yeah.
And I love my people, my people, because Afrikaans people are my people. But what's important to me is that they learn another language so that they can have lateral thinking.
Yeah.
And so they can open up spaces in their brain and they can see the world differently. And then there's so many things that another language gives you that goes beyond that language. It makes you learn other languages. I mean, I learned Spanish in 2 months.
Wow.
And, I made it a mission. I went to Spanish every day. And then you forget it, you know,
if you don't practice.
You don't practice. But because I was able to speak another language, I was, you know, and I grew up for the most part in the Limpopo province, at Polokwane. And I also learned to speak a lot of Northern Sotho and Pedi and those kind of things from the girls who helped raise me. And I think it's very important that our children speak different languages.
Yeah.
If more specifically, if I could choose, I would choose Zulu or German or Spanish, I suppose.
Now, this farm that you're going to now in the Midlands, is it just like green fields and chilling, and not terribly much?
It's right on
in the way
Moy
of
River.
Infrastructure. Oh, beautiful! Wow.
So I can. It's from here to your office to the Moy River. It's like 50 meters.
Wow. And it's such a perfect part of South Africa.
It's just beautiful, and it's a wooden log cabin.
Oh, wow.
With two fireplaces.
So it's little.
Not particularly fancy. Well, it's not little anymore because I renovated it because I have a big family. So now there's six rooms. But it's still a log cabin.
Sure.
So it's not a palace by any stretch of the imagination. And basically what we do is we braai, we make porky course, I bake with the kids. I sup. So I love supping. So I sup up and down the river.
What does that mean?
It's stand-up paddling.
So stand-up paddling.
Like if you imagine a big surfboard.
Okay, all right. I've seen people doing that. Because the river's quite deep and slow.
Deep,
it's not rapids.
So wide.
You can't sup up and down rapids.
No, it's got like a little bit of movement. So it's harder to come up the river.
Right.
But I do that as a form of meditation, to be alone, to think, to be one with nature.
And the sound of water. It's very therapeutic, right?
I can't tell you how excited I am when I think about this.
Yay.
I lie on the grass.
Do you have a big Christmas with the family?
Yes.
Okay, so they all pull in. Who makes the food?
We get the corny, we bounce days. So we bounce it. Everyone gets a turn. And on my day, I'm not mad about cooking.
Mm-mm. No, I'm not mad about cooking.
I'm not mad about cooking. If I was single, I'd be having a slice of toast every night, pretty much.
Right.
I can fancy it up and put some tuna on, I suppose. But we bounce it, and I have very industrious sisters-in-laws and nieces. And when I'm around my nieces, I'm the ugliest person around. They all look like Swedish milkmaids.
Oh, you're joking.
I swear to God.
God,
blonde
what
hair, blue
what
eyes.
What a good-looking bunch.
Big teacup.
Wow. I'm going to look for a wife at your Christmas party. That's what I'm going
to
do. Guess where I'm going to be on the 25th.
There's a few singles.
All right. You won me at Swedish milkmaids.
So it's Nottingham Road. You're most welcome to come over.
Now, is this the house that some former gardener destroyed?
Exactly.
What was that all about? That sounded very strange.
So we fired him because he obviously we went through all the due process.
Yeah, sure.
So it was a long time coming, warnings, et cetera, et cetera. And then we eventually fired him because
I don't care about his side of the story. He was a shit, clearly. All right.
Yeah,
so what
he was terrible. He was killing people on the property and having knife fights with him.
Jesus.
And causing problems.
So
with the
firing
neighbors.
Him was the least you could do. All right. So you got rid of him, and then what? He came back and trashed the place.
So we paid him. You know, we thought we'd be nice, and we paid him. So then, when the money ran out, he came back, and obviously he knew how to work. He was there for years. He knew how to work the place, the alarm systems, and the whole thing. Subsequently, we've now turned it into Fort Knox, which is very annoying to me.
You're in the
because
country.
It took away the whole little log cabin vibe by the river. So, but now we've got security companies, and we've done it all in such a way where we can't see it. But nonetheless, I mean, you need to be basically 007 to get
every
in there.
Every night there's a bleep, 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 woo, all this kind of thing going on.
Exactly.
If one of
everything,
the, if
cameras,
a dog or a child
beams.
Crosses a beam, then suddenly it's pandemonium.
Exactly.
It's
now,
like when someone escapes from prison, the sirens go
there's
off.
There's a siren
the
on the roof, I swear to
You're
God.
You're joking.
There's an actual siren on the roof.
But what did this guy do? Did he tear it apart?
He tore the house apart. He broke the windows. He pulled the fridge over. He took an axe and bashed holes in the wall. It's a wooden house. He tore clothes up. He was high on some drug that they call wonga.
Oh my God!
In Durban, it's a form of a tick, but they smoke it. And he just tore the place apart. Drugs
are bad. Okay.
Drugs are so bad. I mean, I don't. He's not even capable of doing that. He's a little guy. You should see what he was capable of doing. It's like crazy. He's very sorry now, but he's in prison.
I wonder how many of the horrible things that happen in this country are because of drugs.
Like
people who are high as fuck and they just stop caring. Huh?
Yeah.
I wonder, because you hear about these terrible farm attacks and you hear about these people who are like hijacked and, you know, in the townships how these women are raped. And you think, there's no way that a sane person could ever inflict that kind of pain and misery on someone else. So it must be that these people are on drugs. These criminals.
I know, it's terrible. I don't even know where to begin with that conversation.
Okay, well, we were doing so well. Let's not get depressed.
Yeah.
All right. So now, you know, with the two kids, it sounds like a perfect life. It sounds perfect. What are the things that annoy you? What do you wake up in the morning? The things that are in your life. I'm not talking about politics or the economy or stuff you can't do anything about. What annoys you? What's not perfect about Cindy's life so far?
You know, I'll use that opportunity to just bounce off that social media thought for a second. People see your social media and they see you look so hot in all these pictures and you look amazing. That was a shoot that you did one day that lasts you a whole month with 50 different outfits that you use on your social media because you need to build a platform and
But you're sitting here opposite me in a t-shirt and like a pair of tights and stuff, and you still look like you could be on Instagram now.
Thank you, Gareth. But
you're an exception. Sure, for some people, that's what they've got. They've got this.
Like, they only show you the good stuff.
Box of stuff that they can dip into that looks really good.
Yeah, it's like
what's the stuff that you don't really think is right yet that you're still working on in your life? I'll give you an example for me. Like for me, it's developing empathy and actually listening to people instead of jumping in and trying to give your opinion or not giving a shit because you don't have to. I'm trying really hard. I'm working at that.
You're such an incredible guy.
I'm reading about this. If I can intellectualize it, then I can make sense of it. If I can make sense of it, then I can actually learn to care. It's not that I'm this cold, closed, horrible person, but I struggle to be empathetic. Someone says their gran died. The first thought in my mind is I've got to get out of this conversation. That's not right. I've realized what you have to do is you have to imagine you're in that position and then imagine how they're feeling. And instead of trying to solve their problem immediately, which a lot of men do when women tell them what's wrong, is just listen. And I'm learning. I have to learn like a veal. I have to learn how to do this.
This is so great that you're so self-aware that you're able to identify these things.
I don't know. There's a lot of work.
You actually just gave me my first answer. I want to increase my self-awareness.
Yeah.
Because I find that I'm so busy constantly bulldozing forward that I don't sit still and dig down deep to see what it is that I want to improve.
Have you missed things with your kids sometimes? Like when they tell you something and then you think about it a day or two later and you go, oh, hell, I think what he was trying to tell me was this.
Yes.
Because you had so many things in your mind.
Yes, definitely. I would also like to develop more empathy because I have a similar thing. So if you tell me your grand dies, the first thing I think is like, does that mean you're not coming to work tomorrow? Which is even worse than you.
Right. See?
So I would also like to develop more empathy. And I would like to sleep better. That annoys me. I don't like it when the dog poos in the house. That annoys me.
That's very annoying.
Don't like it when, and this is something I could probably do better as well, when somebody interjects and I don't like it when somebody doesn't have empathy with me. So if I say, a typical example, I said to my husband, oh, I'm very upset because my marketing manager's leaving. And he said, yeah, I know, I've been doing this for 25 years. I'm like, how is that relevant?
What didn't you hear?
That you've done it for 25 years is completely irrelevant in my world right now. I'm upset because my marketing manager's leaving.
All you want him to do is go, oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes.
That would make it better. And actually listen.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of look for a reason that he has to put himself in your story.
I know. There's a lot. I want to, but I also want to be better with that. And there's a lot of things that annoy me about myself. I don't like my bottom teeth.
Show me the bottom teeth.
They're a bit skew.
Ah, please. Look at those perfect top teeth. The bottom teeth you hardly see. You would never have won Miss South Africa if you'd had shit teeth.
I go through fat days some days.
Oh,
I
come
wake
on.
Up and I feel fat.
Do you weigh yourself?
No.
You mustn't do that.
I don't do that.
You just look
I'm
in the mirror.
I'm not obsessive like that.
But you look in the mirror and some days you go, can improve.
Definitely.
And other days you go,
Yes. Oh, I'm looking hot today.
Right.
There's a lot of things that annoy
that.
Me.
I love that. You can admit that. So many beautiful girls are so frightened of admitting that they can look at themselves and acknowledge their beautiful presence. Like it's a gift. What a gift. If I were better looking, do you know how well I would have done in life?
I think you're pretty hot, actually.
Do you have
any
idea? You're talking nonsense. If I were better
you
looking.
You actually have become better looking. I've got better. You really have.
Because I've also got more comfortable in my own skin. Yes.
So that happens. I promise you, that's an actual thing. I actually think that I wasn't as beautiful before as I am now. And I know that sounds a bit vain, but
like, you're not as awkward.
You become comfortable.
And confidence, isn't confidence the hottest thing in the world?
It's so hot.
Right. Mm. So tell me what it is that you saw in your husband. Clive, you first met him. What did you see and what did you love immediately?
I'm going to give you a very short version of how we met. We were at a function together in Sandton, and I was standing next to him. There was an auction happening on stage, and I said to him, I have to leave. It was, I don't know, it was like 9:30 or something. So because I have a midnight flight out to L.A. I was on my way to L.A. I was doing some modeling there for the Miss Universe. And he said, oh, I'm also going to L.A.
Oh.
I said to him, oh, really? Oh, you know. I thought, what a corny pickup line. Seriously, who's this guy? So I gave him my business card.
All right.
I said, call me when you get there. We'll go for
dinner. But you weren't attracted immediately.
No, I was. I saw blue light around him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I saw blue light around him.
Like you saw blue light. Are you talking like auras and
yes,
stuff?
Yes, auras, yeah.
Okay, you're into that?
I'm so into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does blue light mean?
It was just light and love.
Like positive, and
positive
stuff.
Vibes. And
what's the light you don't want to see around someone?
It depends on different things. You know, it's all on your chakras and your colors. But I suppose all the typical ones, yellow, orange, red.
You want to stay away from someone who's emitting those colors.
Yeah, negative energy.
What colors do you see coming from me? Or what do you see from Sia? If you look at Sia now, what kind of colors are coming
out? Actually a lot of yellow, but it's like a good yellow. It's like a light of energy.
Like
vibrant,
a happy yellow.
Happy yellow. Like sunshine. Right.
Well, there's that. Take a big deep breath, Sia. Things are okay.
I don't know much about it, but I see lights.
If that was the first thing.
That was the first thing.
Okay,
them.
But that's and perfect. Then, it doesn't matter. Listen. Science is never going to be able to prove that these things don't exist, and science doesn't care if they do. It's not important. And anybody who says, oh, but it's all bullshit, for them, for you, it mattered enough that the first thing about this man was that you saw this light around him.
Yeah. Really? I mean, how bizarre
is that? Was he physically attractive to you, or was it his mind? Like, what got your attention?
I think a combo. Anyway, he came to LA 2 days later. He was actually going to come there. At the time, he was in online gambling, poker websites and stuff. And then we went for dinner, and the rest is history.
Right.
I think first and foremost, sexually attracted to him.
Right. Turned you on.
Yeah, the big time. Just wanted to lock myself up in a room with him for a month, which I did.
Wow. Wow.
So
a whole month, you two just banged each other's brains out.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Probably more. Yes. But I was that was a very big attraction for me initially.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he was highly intelligent and completely not the norm. So I was very used to the Johnny Bravo types trying to get into my pants, which is the complete opposite of what I'm attracted to. I'm not into that at all. I like intellectual. I've always liked blonde guys. If you look back in my history, I've always dated blonde guys. So I kind of have a look.
Yeah.
And I'm not flirting with you at all.
No, I know
but
that.
It's sort of your look. So if you look at Clive, it's like the typical blonde.
Okay, but
not perfectly beautiful, but a.
All right, but then you were with Jacques for a while, and there are many things you could say about Jacques. I don't think intellectual is one of them.
Oh.
Am I being horrible? I mean, I've never met the guy, so I don't honestly know, but I know a lot of sportsmen, and they're not the smartest guys.
Every time you wanted to get back at your ex in live radio with Gary Clifford.
No. Please don't get me wrong. I first of all have no axe to grind with Jacques Callis. I think he's a great guy. But what you're describing, I don't see him as like the kind of guy who's going to read books about philosophy. He was singularly focused. The one thing everybody knows.
Cricket, yeah.
Yeah, this guy was like, he was almost like a machine about cricket. He ate, breathed, slept, thought, lived cricket every moment of his life. And that's why he was the best.
Best, yes.
So, but I don't imagine he's intellectual. Am I wrong? Am I underestimating him at my own peril?
I think that in my infinite wisdom of what is intellectual actually mean, I think that there's different kinds of clever. There's a streetwise and there's an academic. There's different kinds of.
I got you.
Of
application of the, yes, of how smart you are.
I don't think
There's like a native intelligence. There's
no,
some people.
There's no right answer for me here.
Okay, no, but the point is, and I'm not trying to put you in a corner.
So I'm joking. I'm still very good friends.
That's good, right?
Yeah,
I'm friends with all my exes.
Yeah, it's good. We weren't for a long time. And it was difficult because we were in the media, you know, so we were trying to keep it.
And people want to make it look like you're fighting even when you're not.
But we're good friends now. I keep telling him I'm going to be one of his best men. I'm going to dress up in a tux if he ever gets married, God. I think, it's a difficult conversation. When you start talking about sportsmen, and they do spend a lot of their time focusing on sport. So, needless to say, that would be what they would be best at.
It's a dedication.
It's a dedication.
All right. I'm certainly not trying to put you in a, the way you were describing men, and like you guys got, you were together for a long time. You were engaged, you know.
Yeah. But you know what happened with Jock? I think him and I got swept up in the, I loved him and I will always love him, but almost as a friend.
Yeah.
Type of a, and we got set up on a blind date, and then you know we got swept up in the whole celebrity couple thing, and before we knew it, when I met Clive, I realized what it is that I'm in fact looking for in a guy,
right?
And it's definitely more of a non-celebrity businessman.
Would you introduce
academic intelligence?
I get you.
You know,
all right. Would you introduce Jacques to a hot friend of yours? Or would it be too awkward? Like if you had this beautiful...
Well, he's got a hot girlfriend already.
Okay, but let's imagine he's single. And I'm only bringing him in because, I mean, this is a question of how comfortable you are about something that's already in the past for you. So if he said to you, "Yo, I'm single, I'm bored, don't you have some interesting friend?" Let's say he was looking for someone he wanted to marry.
Yes.
Would you introduce one of your friends to him and say, "Go for it. You have my blessing." Are you that comfortable?
Yes. Yes.
Because you say you're friends, which I get. That's amazing.
Yes, yes, definitely. I have no qualms about that. I'd be more worried about her, though.
Well, I mean, he's a sportsman, and we all know these guys. So, these guys they live a very different life to the rest of us.
Yeah, yeah. So the qualities that I was looking for in our husband wasn't exactly what he personified at the time. And
who broke it off, you or him?
I did.
Okay.
But I had to move out because he wouldn't let me go. I had to move out when he was on tour.
That must have been tough.
And then just after I moved all my stuff and the whole story, my dad drove my car to Joburg, and then he came to me and we had coffee, and he said, "Here's a ticket to the World Cup. Just come with me to this World Cup and then let's see." And it was in the West Indies. I do love myself a bit of Caribbean, let me tell you.
Hell yeah.
And then I just...
Did you go?
No.
Wow.
And it was the right thing. You know, Jacques and I think we were always meant to be friends. We weren't meant to be lovers and parents. And we're really good. Sometimes two good people are just not good together.
And maybe you were good for that time.
Yeah,
you know,
this
is like if I look back on any of the relationship, my most recent relationship, which is now a couple of years ago, but that time we were together was fantastic.
Yes.
I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yes.
I don't feel like it was an investment that went sour.
Yes.
I didn't expect it to last forever.
Yes.
Some people have this idea that every time you fall in love with someone, it's got to be forever and it's got to be amazing every step of the way, and that's just not how life works. Yes. Let alone love.
I don't know if anything is forever though when it comes to
nothing.
If you have that approach,
look around you, everything you see around you will be completely and utterly extinguished eventually. There will be not a memory, not a recording, there will be nothing of this moment that you and I are talking. In 10,000 years no one will even know we existed. That's the fact. So deal with it. That's okay.
Yeah.
Because right now we're having a nice conversation.
I know. No, I had a great relationship, and I have many fond memories of touring the world with the cricketers, and I had a great time with him. And I think it was in our journey, and it was right. I mean, I still laugh at him, and we still crack jokes to each other on messages. But nothing is forever, and that wasn't forever. It was a beautiful season in my life, which did grow me, and it taught me a lot.
What?
And it was fun.
What do you still want, like, for yourself? What kinds of things would you like to see happen in the next era of your life, not only as a mom, you want to see your kids obviously grow up and have their own lives and develop their own personalities, and that's going to be a whole journey. But for you, like selfishly, is there stuff that you still want to achieve? There's so many things you've already done.
You're not going to believe this, and I know it might sound super corny, but I've recently felt like God is calling me.
Uh-huh.
And I've never been a Bible basher type Christian. In fact, I've moved away from religion very much in the last 10 years. My husband's agnostic.
You're going to become a nun?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Well, no.
What a hot nun. Imagine.
I'll be teaching them how to dance on the tables in that nunnery.
That'd be the hottest nunnery.
I feel like God is calling me. And when I say God, I mean the proverbial. I feel like there's a very strong everybody's got calling a different
idea
for me.
Of this God, but okay, sure.
I don't know. There's something inside of me that says I want to be a better person. Like I want to focus on being more conscientious. I want to focus on giving back. I want to focus on helping other people. And this is really what I want. It's not something I'm trying to do because I'm expected to do it. I really feel like this is something that I want to do. That I haven't quite gotten around to. I don't know if I can try and be a better example. I don't particularly think that I'm a great role model.
I don't want to be thought of that way.
Yeah. But I want to. That's something I want. So the other thing I selfishly want is I really would like a beach house on the West Coast. The one I have my eye on is 15 million.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm going to have to work for a little bit longer. And I'd like to fly business class always.
Yeah.
And I'd like my children to be really clever, but and admired for that, like well read, and I'd like to be physically more perfect.
Sure, like how?
I get like a six pack.
Really.
Yeah, the one that you only see when you move subtly.
For a woman,
one.
You don't want that like.
Yes,
powerful yes. body because that's
just like one like when you bend over to pick up your bra, you're just going to go, oh, there's a bit of a,
And you see those little obliques. Huh?
Exactly.
I know what you mean.
So those are the things I still want. I would like for my brother to become more financially successful, and I would like for my father's health to improve. But other than that, I'm pretty grateful for everything I have.
Well, what you've just done now is what we kind of do around the Christmas table as a family every year, is we just kind of wish for everybody what we'd like to see happen and come true for them.
Really?
Yeah.
That's such a great idea. Do you mind if I steal that?
No, go for it.
Thanks.
It kind of happened organically. It wasn't something that we were always doing. And it's nice because, first of all, it makes it less about you.
Yes.
So you're thinking about what I'd like for this person and that person and that person. And then you're putting it out there and you're really telling them what you care about for them.
Yes.
Which I think is fantastic because that's what love.
That is
that's
such
what,
a great idea.
If you're going to spend this time around family, you may as well make it a positive thing. A lot of people get together with their family and they hate every second of it. Because, you know, some people have shit families or...
Oh, my God, you're making me emotional.
Or they're horrible.
It's wonderful to think of it like that.
I mean, yeah, some people
just... Because Christmas time is a time where sometimes it's a bit hectic.
And everybody's worried about spending too much money and overeating and what the next year might have because people are fearful.
Yeah.
You don't know what's around the next corner. Not everybody has the ability you have to decide, I'm going to create my own destiny. That's not out of the question for some people. Mm. They are slaves to the system, and they don't even know it a lot of the time.
Mm.
I mean, I suppose what we're talking about then is like a little bit of gratitude, you know. We're all getting on with our lives. We're so busy, we don't stop to go,
yes.
Wow.
Gratitude. Gratitude fixes a multitude of sins. When I'm feeling depressed or low or when I'm feeling anything bad, and I just try and remind myself of three things that I'm grateful for, and then life just seems a little bit better.
Clears the air.
Yeah. We have a Christmas tradition. Each person can only buy one gift. It's you get a budget, allocated budget, so 200 or 500 rand, whatever that year's budget is, and then we have a secret Santa. So you get told who you're going to buy the gift for but you don't know who's going to buy your gift.
Oh, okay.
So, and then,
so you can be specific in your buying.
Yes.
But you have no idea what you might get and who it's from.
Yes, yes, yes. And then
do you reveal who it's from?
Yes.
Okay. So
once you have it. Okay,
right.
Yes, yes. But it's kind of cool because then you have to go and search for that person. So I might get like a niece or a, you know, and then it's not this whole big, it's all about the presents thing.
Yeah.
So I quite like that. And then we do the corny thing where one of the, you know, one of the cousins dress up as Santa, one of the uncles, and still do the whole thing for the kids. They love it.
Is there anybody you really want to meet? Like, is there anybody in the world who you'd love to sit down and talk to for like an hour and just pick their brains?
Pick their brains.
Yeah.
I'd like to pick your brain. I believe you're a very interesting guy.
Well, here we are. We've done it. I mean, what else?
Yeah, but I would
to
like
me.
To do the interview.
I thought
like
you were
asking the question. I would like to, I'd probably like to have a real, like a deep conversation with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Because I'm genuinely
if it's possible to have that with him.
Fascinated as to what is going on in there.
Oh.
And he's obviously got, it's obviously working for him.
It's all ego and narcissism, but clearly he gets the sustenance he needs from it.
Exactly, exactly. I've met him a couple of times when he owned Miss Universe. Was when I...
hello, Cindy. Beautiful. Very good.
Oh,
tremendous.
God, he's such a...
You're fantastic.
Pig.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Did he touch you?
No.
Oh. I mean, like, did he grab your ass or anything?
No.
Okay.
No. No. But he is, he definitely thinks women are there for
adornment.
Pleasure of men and adornment. And I don't like that at all. There's so many people I would like to meet. I mean, interesting people, probably politicians. I would probably also really like to sit down with Zuma and Malema. And I probably would like to meet one of the Kardashian sisters, probably Khloe Kardashian.
She's the big one. She's the taller one.
She's the taller one.
She's quite manly.
But you see, I wouldn't spend an hour picking her brain because I don't think there's much to pick.
You need 5 minutes.
People that fascinate me are people that are successful with strategy. If you look at someone like Zuma, for example, you know, I'm like genuinely fascinated by this guy.
An amazing strategist.
It's amazing strategist, but if you look at where he comes from.
Yeah.
I mean, needless to say, you know, he's got... I mean, years of experience in strategy, like literally military strategy. So, yeah, I suppose those are people I would like to meet. I mean, obviously the other interesting ones would be all the Ellen DeGeneres. I want to have dinner with her because she's funny and she's cool and she's going to make me happy.
Yeah, she gives the impression that she'd make everyone around her feel good.
I had lunch with Madiba.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah, because
cool.
you were Miss SA at a golden time, really.
Yes. He used to invite me to my house. He used to hang.
Oh, wow. Did he ever say something that you keep thinking about? Was there any one pearl of wisdom or was it like, because I mean, a lot of these things are, there's important stuff said, but a lot of small talk as well.
But simple, something simple, like we literally sat down and had lunch at his house. And the first time I had lunch with him, he was dishing up for me.
Wow.
There was a table. I mean, can you imagine this? Can you imagine this? It's like mind-blowing. I'm thinking, wow, I've been so lucky in my life. Spinach and pumpkin and chicken and the whole thing. And I said to him, oh, this is exactly what we ate as a child. And he said, I said, oh, this is my favorite food. And he said, you know, that's the thing. We all actually like the same things. It's a very simple thing, very insignificant, seemingly insignificant thing, but says so much about culture, diversity, how we grew up, and fundamentally who we are as people, regardless of whether we come from a township or a prison or the color of our skin, or we all like the same things. And that really stuck with me.
I can't think of a better way to finish it off. What an incredible life you've led so far. I'm excited to see what else you're going to get up to.
Thank you, Gareth. It's been such an honor. I'm such a fan
hey.
Of yours. I wasn't always.
No, I know. I mean, we used to
heckle
a lot
each other
to say about
on social
each
media.
Other. I mean, it's also because we were children.
I know.
Well, no, I was.
All,
I can admit it.
We're grown up.
Well, some of the time. Catch me on a good day. I'm very adult.
So it's been a real honor. I'm a big fan of yours, and I'm looking
Thank
forward
you.
To listening to the interview.
That's nice to see you. Thank you, Cindy. Lots of love.
You too.
This is CliffCentral.com.